7:30 a.m. in New York, 2:30 p.m. in Johannesburg, and 6:30 p.m. in Bangkok. Welcome to the Expat Happy Hour. This is Sunday Shander Bean, and I am a solution-oriented coach and intercultural strategist for individuals and organizations. And I am on a mission to help you adapt and succeed when living abroad and get you through any life transition. Today, I want to start out by saying Schöne Festtage and happy holidays, because we are on a holiday streak at Expat Happy Hour. Not only are we doing something special by videoing every episode, but we are focusing on the typical challenges that you face when you live abroad during the holiday season. So our first episode kicked off with, should I stay or should I go? Which is especially difficult for individuals who are living a binational life. So if your partner is from one country and you're from another, you have to decide, who do we visit for the holidays this year? The second episode was making holiday memories when you parent abroad, with expert Lisa Fairland on parenting abroad, thinking about, how do I create traditions that are special to me in a context that might not do it? So check that out if that interests you. And just last episode, we looked at the number one secret to making time for what matters most, especially during the holiday season, because at that time, it can feel overwhelming because you have a lot of extra things going on and you put yourself under pressure to make the most of it. So check those out if you haven't already. And today we have another related holiday topic, and it might be a little bit charged. So has something like this ever happened to you? When I told my grandmother, my dear grandmother, I love you, I'm not trying to put you under the bus, but when I told my grandmother that I was going to Thailand, she said, "Oh God, don't they wear bowls on their heads?" And I thought, oh, Grandma, like, what episode of National Geographic were you watching to come to that conclusion about Thailand? And when I spent time with my dear sister, so sister, I am calling you out on something you know about, we've laughed about. She came to Switzerland for the first time, and she had flown in, and we'd only been there for an hour or two. We decided to go outside and go for a walk. And within 7 minutes of our walk, my sister says, "Boy, people in Europe really do show a lot more public affection than they do in the United States." And I turn around and look at her and I say, "You've been here for 7 minutes. Now you're comparing all of Europe to the United States." And she kept saying things like that throughout her trip. And we ended up, you know, lying in bed one night in Paris, just giggling because I was quoting things that she came up with. And then I remember being with a mom from an international school in Switzerland. We were standing outside the international school, and she came to me and she said, "Sunday, I don't know how I can do this. My parents are visiting, and they keep asking such stupid questions, and they say things that come off as totally racist. What am I going to do with my visitors while I'm here? Because it's honestly distracting me." So if any of these scenarios ring a bell for you in a different flavor or context or individual, family member, or friend, then this episode is for you. Because you might be listening and thinking, "Oh, I hate it when people visit and they ask such stupid questions." But the truth of the matter is, no matter how much you protest, that the visitor's stupid questions says much more about you than it does about them. So let me explain before you get defensive. When your friends come to visit, their questions aren't stupid. Their questions are from their perspective. They're signposts that actually you've changed, that you've learned, that you've grown, that your skills have expanded. And I know how frustrating it can be. So let's just imagine what it would be like in the day of a typical visitor. Okay. So I have actually visitors who are on their way to see me now. So I'm just going to say this out loud that you, if you're my visitors who just came, I'm recording this before you got here. So it's not because of you. All right. So I want you to imagine, we're going to walk through a typical day and see if any of this resonates with you. Right. So let's go there. Doodaloo, doodaloo, doodaloo. So Wayne's World reference, anybody? I hope so, that I'm not the only one who's old enough to remember Wayne's World. Okay. So you are at the airport and you pick up your mom and your aunt, let's say, and big hugs and loves, and you're so excited to be together, and you get in the car and your mom blurts out, "Oh God, it's so hot here. It's December. And what is going on?" And you inside, what you really are thinking is, "Are you effing kidding me? We're at the equator. She knows this. Why is she saying this? I warned her about this like 10 times to be prepared for the heat." And instead, what you do is you say, "Yeah, I know. It's really hot. Isn't that crazy how hot it is in December when you're so close to the equator?" Okay, so you crank up the air conditioning and you start heading home. And just as the car starts to pull in, to the driveway, your mom blurts out, "Geez, look at all those people carrying babies on their bikes. That's dangerous. Don't they know that?" Okay, and you're like, okay, deep breath, go to my peaceful piggy place. And you're thinking, "Oh my God, how am I going to make these next 2 weeks when this is how we've started?" And what you want to do is kind of creep low in your seat like you used to do when your mom would bring you to school as a teen, but you're driving, so you can't really do that. So instead you say, "Yeah, I know that was surprising when I first came here. I was worried about the babies, you know, strapped on the backs on the bikes. But you have to understand, this is the fastest and best transport that a lot of people have access to." Okay, they're like, oh, okay, really? So then, you know, you roll into the house and you're excited about putting, you know, your things in the guest room and they're getting settled. And it's about 3:30 and you know your kids are going to come home from school on the bus. So everybody's really excited. And your children jump out of the bus and they're expecting, you know, great auntie and grandma. And they do the hugs and they twirl them around. And your aunt looks at them and says, "Oh my gosh, look how you've grown. You're getting so big." And she turns to you and says, "When are you going to move home again? These kids are growing up too fast." So you try not to make eye contact with your kids in this moment. And what you're really thinking is, "I am home." But you take a breath and you say, "You know what? I know it's really hard to be far away. And it's hard when you notice that they're getting bigger. But we honestly live here now. And this is where we are now. And what I really do think I'm most thankful for is times like these when you can come for several weeks or when I can see you for several weeks, because I know my friends back home only see their friends or their, you know, grandma and grandpa, you know, for a couple of hours on the weekends or, you know, 1 or 2 days throughout the year. Okay. So taking the knife out of your chest because auntie and grandma miss the grandkids so much, you move on with the day. So you get dinner together. You're having a nice time. And over dinner, you say, "So what do you guys want to do while you're here?" And your mom looks at your aunt and your aunt looks at you. And at basically the same time, they say, "Well, I don't know. What is there to do here?" And you're thinking, "Are you kidding me? Do you not have Google? Did you not look up anything before you got here?" But you don't say that because you don't want to ruin the dinner. Instead, you say, well, there's a lot of things to do here. To be honest, I've only been here a year and I have been working. So we haven't hit all the hot tourist spots. But what I can tell you is there are three places I love. And there's a guidebook on the nightstand in the guest room. So you can look and see what you would like to do. So you get through that and they're putting the kids to bed and you're downstairs putting away the dishes and you're thinking, ah, this was kind of crappy. I've been triggered all day long. And you go to bed and you rest your head on the pillow and then it hits you. You think today wasn't really about the questions that they were asking me that I thought maybe were unreasonable or outrageous or stupid. But really, I was getting triggered because this is way more about me and not them. Because I've changed. I've grown. I've learned different things. And now their questions are like a mirror of how things are different for me with no judgment. All right, so let me... And that, my friends, would be the ideal day of dealing with visitors who are asking stupid questions. But I know it's easier said than done. So I am going to give you a few tips that will help you along the way. Before I do that, I'm going to nerd out on you. Okay, so we're going to do a nerd alert. I want to show you something. I can't even see out of these. These actually make me sick when I wear them. I want to show you something. You probably won't be able to see it well on the screen, but I want you to imagine that there's a spectrum of how people develop in the way we see cultures. And we have something called denial, defense, and minimization. And this is from the Bennetts, Milton and Janet Bennett. And they talk about the developmental inventory of intercultural sensitivity. And the first ones, denial, defense, and minimization, are people don't even think things are different. Everything is just the way it is home. And that is what happens when people get shocked when they come to visit you, like, whoa, things are different. They're waking up out of denial. Defense is the next step where you are in a place of, well, why don't they put ice in the Coke here? Right? Where they think it's better to have ice in your Coke than without ice. That's defense, where you think things are better where you come from than in a new location. And finally, minimization is where you think, well, we're different, but we're all the same at heart. Okay, so if you're having visitors who are waking up to the fact that things are different, or are saying, well, this is worse here and it's better, you know, where I come from, this is their process, their learning, their awareness of different cultures coming to be. Minimization would be ignoring the differences. Like, yeah, okay, they do it differently, but we're all the same. Now, you might be on this side. I don't know if you can see this. You might be on this side, which has a more relative look because you've been to more places, you've lived abroad, you've seen different ways of living and working in the world. And you might accept these differences. So you don't judge them. You just accept them for what they are. You might even be a time to adjust where you see the value in doing things different and you can switch the way you see things. You might even be at the point of integration where you feel comfortable doing it the way they do it where you are, and then switching back with no problems the way they do it back home. This is why some of the questions that your relatives are asking feel stupid, because you've grown, you've developed, and you see the world now in new ways, and they haven't had the same experiences as you. Right? So that is one way you can think about it when you're dealing with visitors that are asking you stupid questions. They're not stupid. It's about where they're at and they're seeing the world through their lens, right? And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, no, Sunday, for reals. You need to be on my side. My family are a disaster. So I am on your side, but I'm just encouraging you to look at it from this perspective, because if you hadn't lived abroad, if you hadn't journeyed around the world the way you have, you might see the things the same way they do, and you might ask silly questions too. In fact, I'm sure if I went to a location I've never been, I've never been to China, I've never lived in China. It is such a massive country with so much history, so many cultural nuances. I know I would ask stupid questions because I have no idea. Of course, I would do my research, understand the cultural dimensions, et cetera, but come on. The depth of knowing that it takes to understand a place as complex as China, it's inevitable. Even as an intercultural strategist, I would ask silly questions because I would be naive to the nuances, the complexity that you can only see when you have deep experience in a place. All right, so I want to leave you with a few tips that you can take away to make your experience with visitors less stressful, and they will get under your skin not quite as fast as before. So let's look back at the day of our of the typical day of having a visitor and some of the ways that you can get triggered. Okay, what did I do there? What shifts did I make? Okay, I want you to pay attention to that because these are the tips and the strategies that will help you answer these questions with more ease. Okay, so let's look at tip one. Tip one, where the visitor was talking about how hot it was, right? Notice how I empathized and then I gave a reason. Okay, so yes, it is hot here, but then help them understand why. You might think it's naive, but maybe they didn't do their research. Maybe they are not as deeply aware of understanding how things are different around the world, even with stuff like climate, right? So empathize and give a reason. What does that show about you? It shows that you have adapted to so many contexts that for you, changes in geography, climate, altitude, air quality, those are just normal for you, but maybe not for someone who is leaving their hometown for only the second time. Okay, number two, tip two, with the unsafe babies on the bikes. What did I do there? I acknowledged that it could be normal to have that reaction when you're not used to it, coming from a different context. And then you showed, well, why is that happening here? Okay, so you gave a local perspective. So that shows for you how much you've learned, how you can switch your perspective from a, let's say, more industrial, financially developed context to a more developing context where you say, hey, this is the best option. It's good to have a bike. It's better than walking, so that you're able to shift perspectives without judgment. Okay. And offering the other perspective is supportive of the guest to learn more about the local context. Okay. Tip three about when are you coming home? This is a really good example. And I got this from a friend of mine who lives in Sweden. And she says this happens all the time. And I know how this can emotionally trigger you when people say, when are you coming home? Because you love your friends and family. And yes, there are times where you wish you could be home, however you define home. At the same time, this is your life. Home is where you are with your family. And in fact, some of you might not even know where you're going to live. If you're like me, in the next 2.5 years, you have no idea where you'll call home geographically. So this one, I encourage you to see it as a sign of love, as a sign of connection. They want to be near you. Okay. It's not personal. And also an opportunity to say, this is home for us now. And in fact, look at the opportunities, because I know with my family that my parents see their grandchildren much more often because we're able to come and visit for 3 or 4 weeks than my friends who live within the United States and only fly back for short weekends to see the grandma and grandpa. Okay, so focusing on the benefits of living abroad, what you get as a family, this is a time for you to share special memories. And the fourth one is the no idea. I know how frustrating it is for you when you have visitors, and these are capable, successful professionals, and suddenly when you get there, or they get to your home, they don't even know how to Google anymore. They ask you for absolutely everything. And that can feel overwhelming because you're trying to run your regular life and entertain visitors. However, I am encouraging to see it as this is a way to reduce uncertainty. They see you as a sign of comfort. You know more than they do because you live here. So when they're asking you questions like that, it's not because they're naive or incapable of or lazy to Google. It's because they see you as a place of certainty that you know, and you're an insider, right? You know how it works there. So what did I do there? I set boundaries around how much I do know. I shared a few options. I said, there are three places that I'd love to go to. And then I offered them or tried to empower them to do some investigating themselves by giving them a guidebook to have them explore. Okay. So what does it show about you? It shows how comfortable you are in going to a new context, how you're probably amazing at doing research before you go. So when you hit the ground running, you know where to go, what to do. This isn't a skill that everybody has. And maybe you've forgotten that. Maybe you forget just how much you do this pre-research, preparation, land, go. Not everybody does that. And they're asking you to hold their hand because it's not something they do every 2 years like you do. So it shows so much about you and the skills that you've learned. All right. So we've talked about the tips, the responses that you can offer your guests. But really what this is all about is that these questions that trigger you say so much more about you than they do about them. And it's something to celebrate. Celebrate your growth. Celebrate your new skills. Celebrate your expanded world view. So instead of getting frustrated, this is a time to look inside yourself and say, this is where I've come, without judgment of where someone's at, with acceptance that people are at different places based on their experiences and their growth, and celebrate the hard work, the sacrifice, the challenges that you've overcome to get where you're at. Okay, remember that your visitors' stupid questions say more about you than they do about them. And what it says about you is that you're amazing. So embrace this opportunity to share your worldview, your perspective, your learning, your skills with your loved ones when they're there to visit. All right. So let's look back. We have looked at what to do when we're triggered by our guests. We've talked about some alternatives for responses. And we've identified what this says about you and how you've grown and changed. So I want you to try out these tips so you can make the most of the time with your visitors, your friends, and family. All right. And what we're really talking about here is how do you maintain and create connection with those that you love? And this is your opportunity when they're face to face. If you want to know more about how to maintain and create connection with your loved ones when you are far apart, don't miss my free training that is coming out in a few weeks. You can get on the waiting list by going to the episode notes and following the link, or going to sundaybean.com and check out the link in the podcast, because I don't want you to miss this free training. You can also check me out on Facebook, on my business page at Sunday Schneider Bean LLC on Facebook, because I'll have links there how you can get the free training. Don't miss it, because our relationships are just too important. All right. Thank you for listening to Expat Happy Hour. This is Sunday Schneider Bean. And we are looking forward to next week, where we will have a expat on an assignment share with her journey of the challenges and the positive strategies when you want to make the most of your life abroad in your assignment and with your relationships and those back home. So stay tuned more then. I'll leave you with one final food for thought, an anonymous quote, which starts, "Everything that irritates us about others can lead us to an understanding of ourselves." Ha ha ha!